Welcome to Vegas Inc. Radio. I'm Dellen Goldberg, host of the show and business editor of Vegas Inc. and the Las Vegas Sun. Over the next half hour, we'll listen in on an interview with the state tourism director. When Claudia Vecchio accepted the job as director of the State Department of Tourism and Cultural Affairs a year ago, she knew she was entering uncharted territory. The state had just combined its tourism, arts, museums, and Native American culture departments into one office because of a budget crunch. It was anybody's guess how well the parts would fit. Vecchio came from the tourism industry, having headed a Dallas company that promotes tourism and economic development for mid-sized communities, and previously was the director of Ohio Division of Travel and Tourism. She's based in Carson City, but Vecchio spent the last year familiarizing herself with the entire state of Nevada and the entities that comprise her department. Here she speaks with Vegas Inc. and Las Vegas Sun reporter Rick Velotta about what she's learned over the past year. Let's listen.
You've been in the position now for a year. What's the biggest eye-opener for you in terms of marketing tourism in the state as far as, you know, being new to the area? What was the big surprise?
I think the big surprise was the fact that there is so much in the state that, first of all, people don't know it's there. There's some incredible natural resources, like Valley of Fire, like, do you want me to close it up? Like Great Basin National Park and the Ruby Mountains and some of these great special events that we have in the state. And because there's, and rightly so, these marketing machines happening here in Las Vegas and Reno, you know, I just think some of these really extraordinary things get overlooked. And I didn't know they were here. And I consider myself sort of somebody who knows the world and the good things that there are to see. That these things were here. So that's just been a big surprise, is the level of education that we have in front of us to help people understand what there is besides Las Vegas and Reno, which is sort of the big question.
Yeah.
And then as you're driving along, these great, wonderful things are just 5 minutes off the freeway. But nobody knows they're there because there's no signage, there's no nothing to help just a regular person know what's in the area. There are no rest stops. There's no, you know, real visitor services infrastructure to help them know. And that's something that I really feel pretty passionately about trying to change, working with Department of Transportation and others that manage those kinds of services, whether it be rest stop, which is really kind of, I think, one of our core pieces to.
So where are some of the places you've gone?
I'm getting out there. I'm really trying to make an effort to go out. I've been across I-80, of course, from Wendover all the way over to Reno. I've been to Elko on a couple of occasions. I went out for the Cowboy Poetry Festival, which I just loved. And then I went out for the opening of the California Trail Interpreter Center, which is an extraordinary facility. It's really world-class. Love that.
Where is that?
That's about 10 miles west of Elko on I-80, and they positioned it so that not only are you actually on the California Trail, but you can see where the split off went of the, I think it's the Humboldt Trail and this other trail. So it's really smart, which I like a lot. But the facility itself is just gorgeous, and you're definitely worth the trip out there. Haven't seen it. So I've done that, the I-80 corridor. I was out in Ely not too terribly long ago and came across Highway 50, which is aptly named the Loneliest Road. But that's a great, you know, some wonderful little towns along there, which are just so fun to see. I was up with some State state parks folks up, I think it's Highway 93 up into Lincoln County, to some of the state parks that are up there. We didn't get as far as Great Basin National Park. I still need to do that in Lehman Case, but I haven't done that yet. To the state parks that are up there, Kershaw and some of those that are
Kershaw, Ryan, and
there's a big one that's up there.
Cathedral Gorge.
Thank you. Yeah, so that was really cool to see all that. But again, as you're going out of Las Vegas, it's stunning to me that, and I can see why people who live in Las Vegas are a little hesitant to go up these, because you're into nothing pretty quickly, and there are very few gas stations and services up there, so it's a little intimidating to make this trip. So anyway, so that was cool. And then, of course, I've been down here, and I was at Hoover Dam and Lake Mead and Boulder City, and I still need to do I keep flying from Carson City, from Reno to Las Vegas. I need to do that 95 corridor.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, because of the agency consolidation that happened, the Tourism Commission also is marketing the arts, museums, and Indian culture, all under the umbrella of the Department of Tourism and Cultural Affairs. What challenges have occurred as a result of that consolidation?
Well, actually, each of those agencies still kind of does their own marketing, if you will. They all have different marketing needs. The Arts, Nevada Arts Council is very much a grants organization, so they do a lot of grants giving. So their marketing needs are significantly different from the museums that have to actually get people in the doors. So there's a visitation marketing need there. So in total, I think the challenges are that every entity has to retain its own identity while trying to find this kind of overarching brand of the organization, and how that all ties into the yet-to-be-determined overarching brand of the state. So, it's kind of finding ourselves still a little bit while retaining the individuality of these different organizations. And then the Nevada Indian Commission is very different, because they spend a lot of their time on just the social services of Native Americans, education, healthcare, the daily living kinds of things, with the tourism piece being very definitely part of that. But they have needs far above marketing.
Mm-hmm. Arts and museums are under your purview, mm-hmm. but state parks, something that your office promotes a lot,
yeah.
are not.
Right.
Shouldn't the Tourism Commission be tied closer to the parks?
Well, I think that they're having them be a natural resource is a good place for them to be. We are tied very closely to parks, though, and I think the interagency cooperation and collaboration is really important. We work very closely with state parks. We do some state park brochures. We do some collateral materials with them, for them. We promote the state parks and what we do, but we're also trying to work more closely with Department of Wildlife, because hunting is a big part of tourism in Nevada, and to try and integrate that message into what we're doing and help promote the wildlife piece of this too. So I don't know that it matters so much where these components are housed. SHPO, which is the State Historic Preservation Office, which is very closely tied to museums and history, is over in natural resources as well. So, we're housed in different places, but we have to work really closely together to make it all work.
What would you call it?
SHPO, S-H-P-O is the acronym. It's State Historic Preservation Office.
Okay. So what do you think is the biggest challenge about marketing Nevada?
I think there are a couple technical challenges. I talked about infrastructure. I think infrastructure is a big challenge. I think the fact that there are, there's this world-class, best-of-the-business marketing coming out of Las Vegas, and that's part of the reason I'm here, is to learn from these people, because they do it as better than anybody. But to try and craft out the message of Nevada and the unique offerings outside of that, while still being very synergistic with what they're doing, I think is the marketing challenge of this state, and to help people understand and educate. I think, you know, we're taking this whole program from an advertising-based marketing into a PR-driven marketing, because we can't advertise. We don't have the dollars to advertise the differences between the rest of Nevada and these two big urban centers. We don't have the dollars to do that. But we do have the PR ability to drive social media conversations and to get media coverage, because the media out there in the travel and leisure world loves these kinds of stories that aren't the ones that are always being told, obviously. So they'll I think they'll embrace this other side of Nevada kind of a story. So that's, you know, and that's an age-old issue with Nevada, is trying to really craft that, find that message that is different but synergistic with these big players.
Is it sometimes intimidating to be in the same room with the Las Vegas guys because their marketing machine is so great?
It's exciting to me because it's, you know, we have so much to gain from that, and learning from what they do, I think it's really fun. And, you know, thank goodness they're there, and I think we need to do a better job of integrating what they're doing into what we're doing. There has been some separation, I think, in the past between us, but that's just, I mean, it's certainly okay for them. They don't need us, but we definitely need them. So I would welcome the chance to do that even more than I have up to this point, is to really get those minds in the room and try and figure these issues out. It'd be fun.
So what's the status of developing the brand identity for the state? That was something that's been ongoing for several months.
It's been ongoing for over a year. We had an agency, Green Rubino, in doing the brand development, and they did really good research. What we came up with when they finished the research portion of this was really smart. It was really well written. The language that they've used to identify this state and to differentiate this state and really get down to the core of the DNA of this state is wonderful. Now that we have this new agency on board, and they are the ones that need to drive the creative beyond this point, we're also going to give them the tagline project to come up with that tagline that's going to bring all this together. So that's now moved on to the Burson Marsteller folks and their agency partners to fully develop this and then run with it.
So the tagline hasn't been determined yet?
The tagline has not been determined.
Is there a timetable on that? Are you trying to get it done by a
Governor's Conference. We want to launch it on December 4th.
Okay. You were talking about the new contract, Burson Marsteller. Mm-hmm. Some state political leaders were upset that a Nevada company wasn't selected for this. And that was like $1.5 million, right?
It's actually $3.02 million over 2 years.
Okay, that's it. So what's your response to that when they pound on you for not taking a Nevada company?
Yeah, well, we had a group of seven travel industry professionals from throughout the state that were part of this evaluation committee, and we all worked very closely with purchasing to follow the rules to a T of this process. And when we started out with purchasing, I asked if there was I said, so how many points do you give a Nevada company? Because in Ohio, when I had done this before, there was 10% advantage for an Ohio company, and they said there was no preference. I said, oh, okay. And then as we started moving through this process and we got the responses back, the evaluation committee, I mean, we simply scored the responses based on their merit. And it was clear when we went through the responses that there was a difference between the ones that we got from Nevada companies and the ones we got from the national level companies. And the goal from the Commission on Tourism, from these commissioners to me all along, was we're going to get the best and the brightest. We have to get the best. And so, and some of those committee members are on the commission. So that was our charge, was to get the best. And the best were coming from outside of the state of Nevada. So I knew going through this that this has always been an issue for people in my role in other states, and that this probably would have some conversation when we went through that initial weeding out and picking the finalists. I brought the staff, my whole staff, together, and I said, folks, the committee has selected all out-of-state vendors. There's going to be conversation about this. This is going to get attention, and it did. And I think the conversation is always good. I don't know. We followed the process. We did what we needed to do. We are incredibly pleased with who we got. They have really stepped up to the plate. They have a lot to do. The expectations now are about 6 times higher than they would have been if it just been normal, and we know that. But I think that we'll be able to. This particular agency, Person Mars Teller, is up to the challenge. So it was the process was done exactly how it needed to be done through purchasing, and we've gotten through the conversation, and now we're moving on.
That's State Tourism Director Claudia Vecchio speaking with Vegas Inc. reporter Rick Velada. Claudia took the job about a year ago and has spent the past 12 months touring the state of Nevada and learning about all the entities that comprise her department. The state recently combined its tourism, arts, museum, and Native American culture departments, and now they're all under Vecchio's purview.
The other, I guess, somewhat controversial incident involving the commission was the spending of the $600,000 to sponsor the Reno Air Races, which has a name that's longer that I don't remember now. But I'll put that in, by the way. What does the state get out of that?
We were very careful to take this $600,000 and craft it into a sponsorship, just like we would be if we were sponsoring any event. So we have a very long list of marketing considerations, and it really is marketing considerations, whereby we will get a return on this investment. And we are going to have this will be in place for at least 3 years in terms of the title sponsorship and these marketing considerations. We will, for the next 3 years, have a bevy of, if we are able to extend our brand through the kinds of marketing that this event does. So it makes business sense, and it's also a good community gesture. So I think, both ways, it worked in our favor, and the response has been very positive. People who are very glad that this event was able to remain in Reno.
I guess what comes to mind to me is that how does the commission then reject requests on events that are equally important to the individual communities? How do they say no to somebody who's got a similar quandary as far as finance is concerned?
And I would say if this was an extraordinary set of circumstances,
sure.
If somebody has an event that they feel as though needs some sponsorship, I would welcome anybody to talk to me about it. I got a lot of conversations with people up in the Reno-Carson City area, event organizers who came for sponsorships, and we evaluated those as brought those to the commissioners. We evaluated them, and then we elected the sponsorship that way. If there are others throughout the state that want that same kind of a deal, we have two areas. We have our whole grants program, and that funds rural events. And then we have this urban sponsorships component. And it's never been that much money. But if there is an event that is significant, and we really look for events that bring international exposure, that are tied in well with the brand of the state, that bring high demographic people and from the right places and all that. So there were a lot of components that went into this that it made sense. But this is intended to be a one-time shot for these folks. But if other people have other events, you know, we're open for to look at urban events and how we can help sponsor them, because it's in everybody's best interest.
Yeah, I guess I just don't see how the Reno Air Races fits into a state. You know, people down here really don't know too much about it. I mean, they know about it when something bad happens.
Yeah.
But I don't know that a lot of people down here have ever even gone to it.
Yeah, they're fine. I don't know if they have either.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you talk about a statewide, well-known event, the cowboy poetry comes to mind to me. Mm-hmm. But Reno Air Races is just maybe off the map a little bit. But I think you pointed out recently that this is like one of the last of its kind, too.
It is. It's the last of its kind in the world, actually, where they have these type of races and these kinds of aircraft in this whole kind of a setting. So it's important, I think, to retain that kind of legacy here in the state. And it's the thing I like about it is that it really brings people here who are risk takers and adventurers. And so they're sort of Nevadans, even if they're coming from the UK. They're kind of embracing the Nevada spirit. And there are very few events that are statewide events that everybody's going to recognize. So I don't know that we'll look at events, and I would like to do some more events down in the southern part of the state. I just got nobody really came to me and said, we want funding for these events.
Yeah. Do you think there might be some kind of an event or something that can tie the state together regarding the sesquicentennial?
You said it right.
I did.
That's very impressive. We're definitely looking at those kinds of legacy events that can help tie the state together for that year, and then hopefully would be ongoing kinds of events that would continue to remind people of the unique heritage of the state. The Sesquicentennial Steering Committee has started to look at types of events and touring kinds of exhibits, if you will, that are fun and interactive and really would engage people in different communities throughout the state. So yes, they definitely are looking at those kinds of things, because it needs to be a statewide collaborative effort where there's something happening. There'll be lots of events that'll happen during that time, but one or two really signature events. Yeah, they're looking at that.
The Governor's Conference on Tourism has had a difficult history recently. Are you planning to keep it going, and what's the compelling reason to have such an event?
We're planning to keep it going, yes. I've been very lax in planning it for this year. It's going to be December 4th and 5th, and yes, we're going to keep it going. I think that what we're trying to do is to make it a significantly different event from the Rural Roundup. The Rural Roundup being a wonderful educational event for industry members. This event, I think, to make it retain some viability, needed to be different. So we're making it a much more, I think, bringing back some elements that they did in the past, a sales and marketing kind of event where we're going to do a trade show, giving members of the Nevada industry a chance to go one-on-one with tour operators and travel agents and the media, and also bringing in much more technology. We're going to do a pre-conference technology summit that kind of helps people really start to understand this new emerging technology world. So it's, I think we're going to try and find some pockets and try and make it more of a business building conference than an educational conference, if that makes sense. I don't know that we'll get there this year, but that's kind of the idea, because they're a little different markets. As far as I know, we're the only state in the nation that has two conferences. But to retain the difference between them, I think, is an important thing, and we're going to keep looking at how we can make sure that there's two reasons for people to go to a conference.
Yeah. You touched on the technology part there, and I know that the State Tourism Commission has done really well in these mobile apps areas, particularly with the skiing, and I think that I heard you mention the mobile app that may be developed for tourism statewide.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I haven't seen it all. I've seen the idea, but I think that it really starts to help answer these infrastructure issues in a 21st century way, but the app is designed, will be designed to be downloaded by anybody in a place that has cell service, because obviously the whole state doesn't have cell service, and that's always an issue. But designed to be downloaded in that place, and then it can be used. You'll have it on your phone or your whatever device it is, tablet, and then you can use it in the places that don't have cell service. So if you're driving along and you're driving along I-80 and you're at exit 46, it'll tell you what's in the area or what hotels are there or whatever. And then the idea is at some point, if you've come in and you've landed at McCarran Airport, that it'll offer you up coupons and say, I see you're in Las Vegas, here's $20 off at X hotel and $10 off at the restaurant. And so it becomes much more of a retail kind of a deal. Same thing if you're driving up 93, I see you're in Alamo, stop at this restaurant, here's $5 off. So it's meant to be both a wayfaring informational kind of a piece as well as a business building.
As well as driving the business.
Driving the business.
Claudia, that's most of the questions that I've got. Are there any other areas that you would want to touch on that you want to get the word out on?
I just can't stress enough the fact that we won't be successful as a commission on tourism unless everybody's in this together, and it's these partnerships that we'll be developing are going to be. And have developed. Our territory partnerships are very important. But as we move and continue to develop partnerships, just having people willing to take a little bit of a risk with us, because we'll be going in some new directions and trying some things out to see if they work. But to know that this isn't your father's Oldsmobile, that to be successful, we're going to need to do some things differently, and to take a risk. And we'll always have a very good business strategic reason for doing it. But to kind of go with us for a little bit to see if these things will work, because the thing I like about Nevada is that we're kind of an open book. We're kind of a blank slate, if you will, in a way. Yes, Las Vegas has done it better than anybody. Reno, Tahoe definitely has its thing. But we can do things that are really innovative and really different from any other state because of the fact that we're kind of newly a new brand, if you will, because people don't know what's here. So I think that we're going to be doing some things that are different. I would love people to come along with us as we provide opportunities. We're going to be doing a whole new cooperative marketing program for the state and in the digital space, as well as some more traditional kind of advertising. So to go along with us and with the idea that we're going to be trying some new things, but it's we're thinking it through, so it's not just new to be new, and that the idea is to build business, and so that partnership is really going to be hugely important.
Okay.
That's it. Nutshell, what we're up to.
All right, that wraps up this issue of Vegas Inc. Radio, part of Waking Up with the Sun. We're here every Monday at 7 a.m. on KUNV 91.5 The Source. You can find this coverage and more at vegasinc.com or lasvegassun.com. I'm your host, Dellen Goldberg, business editor of Vegas Inc. Thanks to Steven Zeller, our producer, and the entire KUNV team. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your day.